Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, thanks for joining us once again on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And one of the things that we are trying to do is help you get more familiar with the people who make up our staff and some of the key volunteers around here as well. And today I'm joined by our leader of all things student ministry. And Matt Studi has been a part of this church for a long time. He's been part of our staff a little bit less than that, but we are just delighted to have him overseeing everything that happens between 7th grade and 12th grade, and then also giving his insight into what happens in 5th and 6th as well. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about you and your family, where you're from, your wife, your kids.
Yeah. So grew up in the L.A. area. Always went to church there, small little Lutheran church. I like to say I'm a recovering Lutheran.
I'm a recovering Presbyterian, so yeah, we have something in common.
and actually met my wife in that church when we were in a student ministry. I was 13, she was 12. She had just moved here to California from Utah, from right here. Mm. And we kind of had a little crush on each other, but she was in 7th grade, I was in 9th, and it just wasn't destined to work out.
You gotta give it some time.
Yeah, I'm glad we did, because it would have never worked back then. Grew up in that environment, and kind of as a teenager, fell away from a relationship with God and kind of walked in the world and explored what that was all about. And in my early mid-20s, it's kind of when it all turned around. Came into a relationship, a real relationship with Jesus, and started attending a non-denominational church with my mom and my future wife's parents were attending also. And they convinced Sandy and I both to go to the Saturday night service at this church. And it worked up perfectly for me because I could go to church and, you know, fulfill that requirement and then go to the bars. But as the more I went there, the more Jesus kind of got a hold of my life and turned everything radically. Sandy and I started dating. We eventually got married. We have two boys, both grown now. Austin he's 26, married with a little grandbaby who's 4. And then Chasen just turned 18 and is setting off in the world on his own now. Mm-hmm. So Wow. We moved here to Utah, gosh, it's been, I think, 16 years ago. Just to get out of California, kind of when the housing bubble, just before it burst, decided there wasn't really a future in California. So we went to where we thought it would be better to raise a family, lower cost of living, and we're sure glad we did.
Mm-hmm. And you're from Southern California, but I'll let everybody know that Matt is a dyed-in-the-wool Dolphins fan. How do you become a Miami Dolphin fan in Southern California?
It's hard to do. So that I can thank my father-in-law for that. When I started dating Sandy before we got married, they would always have Sunday family dinner, and they invited me when we were dating. And the routine was you had dinner at the kitchen table, and then their family room was just off of there. And he was a football fan. And I remember one night we went over for dinner and sat and watched Sunday night football after dinner. And the Dolphins were playing. I couldn't tell you who they were playing, but they were on. And I was never much of a football fan growing up at all. And so I'm watching football, but part of my nature is like I'm a fan of the underdog. And so if you know, whatever's happening, if it's an underdog, I'm going to root for them just naturally because I want like that person to win. And the Dolphins were playing, and I remember the broadcaster talking about Dan Marino being the greatest quarterback to play the game who's never won a Super Bowl. And that's all it took. I guess I started off more of a Dan Marino fan than I was a Dolphin fan. But, I mean, you know, you watch a team long enough, and then you just become invested. And it's like, well, I can't change now.
Trust me, I know.
like even through the 15-1 or the 1-15 season we had, like sitting there watching that, and the boys used to make fun of me when we'd watch football because I'd record it on the DVR, And if the game started going south, I would just start fast forwarding through it and sighing. And so I got to the point where the boys would look at me and go, Dad, isn't it time for you to start sighing and fast forwarding?
Well, maybe one day you'll also love football and Jesus and become a Cowboy fan. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Switching gears just a little bit, Matt, you've done some different things here at Washington Heights. As I said, you've been around for a long time. You and your family have been attending for a long time. Talk about some of the things you did before becoming the student ministry director.
Wow. So I guess I would say my entire life I've had this compulsion to work with students, work with kids. In fact, when Sandy and I met, it was at a fundraiser for a three-year-old who had cystic fibrosis. It was a Monopoly tournament. And the two of us were already knocked out. This is when we first met. We were fighting over who got to hold this little child. And so, like, my heart's always been for youth and for young people. And as our kids were growing, I was always involved in the activities they did. So whether it was, you know, helping start the Boy Scout troop here at the church, or, you know, volunteering as a small group leader in a J-High group, which the first time I did that, I remember walking out of that first group going, I don't think I'm cut out for this, because J-High boys can be rough.
That's a pretty common reaction the first couple times.
Yeah. But so just volunteering and serving kind of in whatever capacity I could. I think at one point we were leading a small group in our home. I was serving on the adult worship team. I'm not a good singer, but for some reason they let me in. I was on the deacon's board. I was helping on Sunday mornings in third and fourth grade leading worship and kind of helping run Kidmo, they call it at the time. And then, see, I helped in J-High, helped in high school. When Mike came on board, he asked if I would, you know, be crazy enough to start this new thing called preteen ministry. And so helped get the 5th and 6th, Route 56, kind of up and off the ground. And I think it was during that period where God really started calling on a deeper level, saying, you know, I want you to follow me. And I remember at the time I put all these obstacles in the way. And in a sense, I like to, like, I think of it, I put God in a box, which is kind of funny. Like, you look at it and go, you know, I'm looking at, you know, would I ever entertain being a youth pastor coming into ministry full time? And I'm looking at it going, well, God, no, because I make pretty good living doing what I'm doing now. You know, we have health insurance and, you know, some health things in the family that I have to make sure that all comes through my job. And I just don't think it could ever work out. But if you, God, if you could make all that work the way I want it to, then yeah, I think I'd be game for that. And it was during the time running, getting that Route 56 ministry up and running, that God kind of softened my heart to that and said, you know, I want you to serve me. I want you to work for me on a bigger capacity, in a bigger way. And it was through that time that I, you know, I turned it over and I said, all right, God, if that's what you want me to do, like, if I get an opportunity to do that, I won't tell you no. And so when you guys approached, I remember that meeting in December beforehand, and you guys said, would you ever consider? Yeah, I'm in. Okay, when do we start?
Yeah, I didn't even get to finish the sentence.
And, you know, anecdotally, like, I look back now through the journey, and, you know, all those concerns I had, after I said yes and gave over and surrendered completely, God just went to work kind of taking care of every one of those things. And you know, that's not to say life is perfect or, you know, by any means, but I found leaning in faith and completely surrendering gives him an opportunity to show how great he is. Mm-hmm. It's like, give me a chance and I'm going to show you how good I am. But as long as you, like, cling to all these things and think that you're the Lord of it all, like, you're just holding yourself back. So that was, like, a big lesson, kind of a big revelation through this all.
Hmm. Let me back up a little bit. You have the unique position of being an attender, a volunteer, and now a staff person. So let me back up a little bit to when you were an attender. You know, Washington Heights is not the only church in town. You had a number of different options. Why did you and your family come here and not somewhere else?
I think that was probably more out of our experience at church at that non-denominational church in California. It was a bigger church, not a mega church by any standards, you know, bigger than we are, but they had a lot of, I hate to use the word programs, but they had a lot of things for kids to be involved in. Very similar to the heart of Washington Heights, where, you know, we value young people and we value children and the next generation coming up, and we pour into them. This church had that same kind of heart. And as we were looking at moving, and I know you hear this a lot, especially now, I got online and I started watching services online of, you know, churches in Ogden, Utah. And of all the ones I saw, Washington Heights kind of is just where we were led to. It's where God said, this is kind of church home. This fits what we were looking for. And I know it's not like all about us and what we're trying to get out of it, but it's where we fit. And we did attend, you know, some different churches in the area before we landed, you know, completely on Washington Heights. But I think overall it was because we were looking for a place where our kids would be taught and uplifted and brought along, you know, in the right kind of way.
So let me switch gears again a little bit to student ministries right now. You oversee 7th to 12th grade. What's the dream for a student? So you get a student in 7th grade, and let's say you have them all the way to 12th grade, and now they're off to whatever that next chapter is.
Yeah.
What do you dream for them? What do you want for them? What are we trying to just equip them with?
Well, I think the initial dream as 7th graders come in is to pray that they don't burn anything down. I mean, that's the, you know, utmost importance is let's
basics
keep everything.
First. Right?
Yeah, you know, let's teach them that. I think long term, you know, the goal and the desire is, especially knowing that so many of our young people will graduate high school, head off to college, and walk away from their faith. Mm. You know, and the statistics are staggering, the number that do that.
They're very high.
And so I guess the heart and the goal, the desire that I have is to teach these students in the 7 years we have them who God is, give them opportunities to have genuine experiences with the creator of the universe, that they can have intimate relationship with him. And then teach them, you know, what we believe, why we believe, what's the evidence to support what we believe, so that when we send them off, you know, into some liberal university somewhere, that they have the tools in their tool belt to be able to fight back against, you know, professors who say God doesn't exist, or, you know, temptations of friend groups that say, hey, you can come and do this, you know, you don't have to stick with that. I think the biggest goal is to transition them from the faith of their parents to owning and realizing their own faith and kind of internalizing that.
Mm. And how does that happen? Right? Because that's a great goal. So what kind of things are we doing to facilitate that?
It is multifaceted. It happens through relationship. And, you know, we talk about not burning the church down, but, you know, that's the first step of relationship. It's meeting them where they are. You know, and accepting them as they are and impressing upon them that God loves them just where they are, but he loves them too much to let them stay there, that there's a journey that they're to be on. Investing them in small groups with leaders who care and follow up and will pray on them and love them. Investing in, you know, opportunities to have mountaintop experiences. And, you know, I look back on my childhood, my teenage years. Even though I didn't walk really close with God, the times I was closest with God were on literal mountaintops, when, you know, you're away at a retreat and you're distanced from regular life, and it's an opportunity for God to kind of grab your attention and say, hey, I'm here. I care about you. I love you. I have a plan for your life. So, you know, use all of those along with, you know, regular Bible teaching. Let's teach them what the Bible says. Let's teach them who God is, what his grand narrative is, and what his ultimate goal of redemption is, and how that relates to them, even when they're still students. Hmm.
So as we record this, we're still in the COVID season. And have those goals been altered in any way? Have they stopped? Have they continued? What has happened during this season with our students?
Yeah, I mean, everything has been altered. You know, and I think it's an interesting season to look at everything that we do and the way we do it, kind of with different eyes, to go, maybe it's time to, and don't ask me what, because I don't know yet, maybe it's time to stop doing some things and start doing other things differently or imagine a different model of ministry. Because I think God stops things for a reason, and it gives us a chance to look inside. We have, though, continued to meet on a regular basis. When it first, you know, we first got locked down, we switched to youth group online. We were doing weekly Zoom calls where we would, you know, continue to have some lesson, and we'd interact with the students. We'd play games, of course, and kids that won the games, I'd go deliver them the Lord's chicken nuggets.
And you'd be wearing not your normal clothing to deliver that stuff, would
you?
Well,
of course not. Youth hazmat suit.
Wasn't there a chicken suit in there too?
A bunny suit. Yeah, there's a bunny, right? That was around Easter. Yeah. Because the bunny.
You can get away with anything in youth ministry, man.
We sure can.
People in the auditorium are jealous of that sometimes.
You know, Roy, I recommend you try a bunny suit someday. You'll grab their attention. It'll be one they remember.
Oh, you know, back in my school days, I did an internship in student ministries for a couple of years. And, you know, it was good, but one of the things I came away with, and this ups my respect for you and anybody else serving in student ministries, I was convinced that's not what God was calling me to do. So I say kudos to you. And, you know, what's happening there is really, really exciting. Hey, talk a little bit about something that you pioneered before all this happened, and it is an event after football games to invite students. Talk a little bit about that.
So what you're talking about is we titled it Friday Night Lights. Other people call it like a fifth quarter. But the idea was to find ways to reach beyond the walls of the physical walls of our church and into the community where our kids live and you know, reside, and their friends live and reside. And how do we, you know, break down this barrier that, you know, exists between us and the schools and, you know, the community as a whole, and also, you know, provide a space for students that aren't necessarily regular attenders or aren't necessarily, you know, anyone who would ever normally set foot in our building, give them a place after the football game ended to come and hang out and have a party and spend time with their friends in a safe, drug and alcohol and smoke-free environment. And so it's serving multiple purposes. It's, you know, introducing, you know, kids who maybe never set foot in our building into our building, into our space to say, hey, this, you know, this is a church. And we get that a lot of times. The first couple times we did it, kids would be walking through going, man, I want to go to this church. And you know, that would be great if they did. It's not the only goal of it. Sure. But it's, you know, it's to reach beyond the walls and to seek connection with students who we normally wouldn't have connection with.
And how has that been received? For instance, you know, one of our close high schools is Bonneville High School. And tell us a little bit about the interactions with the principal of that school.
It's a growing and healthy relationship, and we really view it as a partnership, and we partner with, you know, other local religious institutions and business owners, but really between the principals of the local high school and the J high schools now, it's a good, strong relationship where we're seeking each other out for advice and kind of how can we do things better? How can we pour into the students in this community to give them a better shot kind of in life in general, I think is the goal.
And yeah, thank you for, you know, just doing something in student ministries that we've talked about in general at the church, and it's behind some of our compassion efforts as well, that the church is not just on this physical location, and definitely not inside of these walls. And we've talked about being here and there, being present in our community. And boy, I think you've just taken a big step in that direction and connected with our community in significant ways. And it's fascinating to me that it just seems like in our area at this time, the public schools are even looking for help. And wouldn't it be great to just be a part of that? You know, we're not everything, but we're something in that. And I think to provide, you know, even a safe place for kids to go and connect. And I've even heard that schools that played each other and are rivals, they come and then they're hanging out with each other and maybe even breaking down, you know, some of those divides that might be there. And there's just so much good that can come out of creating a kind of environment, right? We can't change hearts. Only God can do that. But we can create the kind of environments in which God can do that. And so thank you for pioneering some of those efforts.
For sure.
Hey, let me change gears on you one more time here. And just in a general sense, you know, what are you excited about these days? What either is God teaching you or what are you looking forward to? What's stirring in your heart?
Wow, that's a giant question. And I think especially in this season, God's teaching me to change what I'm looking forward to. Because I think it's easy in, you know, you get into a program, and whether it's ministry or Boy Scouts or soccer or whatever the program is, when it comes to youth, there are certain things throughout the course of the year that you mark your date on the calendar and you go, hey, I'm looking forward to that. And through all of this pandemic and, you know, shuttering of everything, it's changed. And many of the things that we traditionally look forward to have been taken off the table. And so I think, you know, obviously immediate, you know, thing, what I'm looking forward to is being able to meet regularly and reconnect some of those relationships that have, you know, drifted away, you know, during this time. Because we stay in touch with, you know, we have a core group of students who are really connected. But you know, my heart is for those kids who were maybe new to the group or maybe on the fringe of the group and came every now and then, and we haven't seen them for months. And so I look forward to being able to have conversation with them and talk to them and see their face and let them know that, hey, man, we're glad you're back. I hope they come back. I look forward to that. I look forward to, man, seeing what God will do in this next season, you know, because more now than ever before, it's like, I don't have the answers. I can't control it. You know, we'll plan and we'll try to do our best. But ultimately, I'm going to sit back and just be amazed with what God does through this time, I think.
Yeah, if nothing else, this COVID season maybe has just eliminated any other illusions of control that we had, right? That, man, life is just humming along, and then all of a sudden, yeah, everything's different. Yeah. Everything's changed. Yeah. But I think, you know, we've just across the board, including in student ministries, seen God show up in ways that remind us again that, right, it's not about our ability to control things as much as it is about what is God doing. And we've been forced to think about some ways to still be the church and still connect with people and still, you know, just represent God's hands and feet in our community. And not sure we would have done all of that if we hadn't needed to do that. And through that, I think we've seen God show up in some pretty amazing ways. And I hope and I pray that that's one lesson that we don't forget too quickly. That, and about our routines and our control. It's about leaning into God all the time, even when we're not facing a pandemic, and seeing, you know, what God is going to do. Well, Matt, thank you for joining us, and I'm thrilled that you and Sandy and your family are here. Thank you for what you've done over many years, and most recently as part of our staff. You're just a great fit. There's great things happening in student ministries, and the future is bright, and thank you for being a part of it.
I'm just blessed to be a part of it. Happy to be able to serve.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and thank you to everybody for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast, where we are trying to help people feel more connected to the place where we help people meet and follow Jesus. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.